Hey, the It's Time for Coffee podcast is powered by the Converge Podcast Network. Hey friends, it's time for coffee, and I'm your friend and host, Jeanette. I'm so glad that you're here today. I hope you know by just pressing play on that podcast app, you have a friend with you. My hope is that as you listen, you will know that you are heard, valued, loved, and not alone no matter what stage of life you're in. I hope that you're subscribed so you never miss an episode, and it would mean the world to me if you left a rating or review. I'm so glad you're here, and I cannot wait to introduce you to this week's guest. Hey, welcome back to It's Time for Coffee. We are officially halfway through our Focus on the Family series, a series that we have been really intentional about pulling back the curtain on faith and family and making sure that we are all seen and loved in what we're doing and facing those challenges that so many of us face as moms and grandmas and everything. So the feedback I'm getting from this series is that y'all are loving it. It makes me so happy and I'm so thankful. And I love that you guys are also enjoying our solo episodes, or as I like to think of them, our one-on-one conversations over coffee. And I know that you guys are loving our incredible guests as well. So since we are halfway through, let's do a quick recap. We have talked about family legacy, overcoming hard seasons in marriage, mentors and the need for mentorship, and the need to be a mentor, money and budgeting, and last week I offered up some unsolicited marriage advice. This week we're going to be talking about faith and motherhood. I'm so excited to introduce you to my new friend, Bumi Ladiden. Bumi talks about Jesus in such a beautiful way, and she talks about searching through religion, tradition, and even witchcraft to find the one and only Jesus. We talk about motherhood and her Twitter handle, The Honest Toddler, and how we just find Jesus in the laughter. Man, it's just so great how we all see Jesus so differently. Bumi and I became fast friends, and we laughed a lot. I'm so excited to share this conversation with you. So friend, grab your cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in. Hey y'all, I'm so excited to be sitting down. We've been talking for 25 minutes already and just having the best time. Bumi Ladiden, thank you for hanging out with me today. I am just overjoyed to meet you.
Thank you for having me. I feel the same. It's been amazing talking to you.
It's morning. So fun. What's in your cup? Are you drinking anything?
I am. Well, I have a thermos that I carry around all day, like a construction worker type thermos. It's like insulated everything to try to keep my tea warm because I forget about it so much. And I like Celestial Seasonings mint tea or chamomile. It's like the cheapest tea on the market.
Yeah.
I like it. I don't need fancy tea.
Yeah.
I like this tea.
I just told you we are all getting over COVID, and I started making homemade medicine ball teas from Starbucks.
Ooh.
Oh my gosh. Well, and it's not real tea. It's hot lemonade.
Okay.
Honey. A jade mint tea. Tivon is jade spearmint, something like that. And then a peach tea.
That sounds amazing. Wait, okay, isn't jade like a rock? I thought jade was a rock. Is it a flavor? It might be jade. Okay.
I saw the best thing on Instagram the other day where someone said, we need to stop the flavor red velvet because it's a color and a textile. It's not a flavor. I thought that was the best thing ever. It's a textile. It's not a flavor. And then I thought about it. If your cake tasted like a textile, that's not a good thing.
It wouldn't be good. No, it wouldn't be okay. But no. I mean, isn't it just chocolate? It's chocolate, right? Red velvet cake.
I have no idea.
I don't even know. I think it's chocolate. But I don't know where the red comes from.
Yeah. Why is it red?
It's magic.
Yeah. So I've been making that tea. It's like water and lemonade. It's just really delicious. And I'll send you a video later on how I make it. It's really good.
Do.
So that's what I've been drinking. When you go out and about, you live in Canada?
I do. In Quebec, close to Montreal.
Okay. Where and what kind of coffee do you get when you go out and about?
Oh man. Okay. So I don't drink a lot of coffee because drink coffee, I drink all the coffee. I love coffee, but I can't control my coffee consumption. and I don't know, when I drink coffee, it makes me really anxious and like angry. I don't know. It's just like my kryptonite, but I love it. So I will talk about, because what I do still get it every now and then, and I don't even care where it comes from. It can come from a gas station. It can come from Tim Hortons. It can come from, I mean, a person with a sign that says free coffee on the side of the road. I don't even care. And I'll get, but I love mochas. I love okay. mochas.
Those are so good. That's Jesse would always get an iced mocha. We're from Alaska, so I feel like Canada and Alaska wow. are similar in heart.
Yes.
And so it's like, you know, 50 below. It's not really that cold. But he would get an iced mocha and they'd be like, "You want an ice?" And he's like, "Yeah, I want yeah. like an iced mocha, please." So
yes.
Okay, you're known online for being the honest toddler. And I just yes. kind of want to hear how this happened for you. Like, why did you start this Twitter feed to Twitter account?
Yes. So I started it in 2012. Yeah. And it was when my, or 11, when my second born became a toddler, because my firstborn, I was one of those parents who had the easiest firstborn child and just thought that I was an amazing mother. And, you know, it's because I read Happiest Baby on the Block and all that stuff. And then my mom would always say, no, this isn't, she's just really well-behaved. This isn't like a typical toddler. You haven't
when you're like, no, she's well-behaved because I'm a good mom.
Yeah, because I know what I'm doing, first of all, like, you know. And then my second came in like a full-on wrecking ball. Like, she has all the spunk, like all the attitude, challenged me on everything, toddler to the max. And I literally just started the feed, the account, because as a cathartic release.
What are some of like your favorite tweets that you've done from the Honest Toddler? Is there anything that you can remember?
I love the ones. So sometimes when my kids wouldn't sleep or when she wouldn't sleep, I would type it at night and I would tweet, you know, like, "I'm still awake," and people would just immediately get it and be like, "Oh my gosh, go to sleep." They would talk to me as so I was yeah toddler, and I feel like they were getting their emotions out with their kids. Yeah. You know, some people would swear, they'd be like, "Go to sleep," you know, that like book, you need to like yeah. go to sleep right now, you know. And they're really, you know, helping parents get their emotions out.
So good. And I think that there's something so like there's that joy behind like the funny part of it, but there's yeah. also that, like, we were kind of saying, like, "I'm not alone. Oh my gosh, somebody gets yes. this," because I think that's what we are all searching for in one yes. way or another, just like somebody to get it. And you set up something that you're like, "This is for me for sure." Yes. But like, somebody else out there, do you get it?
Understands. Exactly. That's the thing. We do feel so alone in these kind of universal experiences. And it's such a, because, you know, we live in our little house and we've only posted the best parts of ourselves on social media. And, but now people more and more are sharing, but it's so crazy how we do just feel like we're the only ones going through this, the only ones not getting it right, the only ones who are so exhausted and, you know, on day 3 of the same shirt.
I want to hear about your faith journey and something that you talk about in your new book, Dear God, which, first of all, we've been talking for this long and I didn't even congratulate you on your new book. I'm thank so you. Sorry.
It's okay.
Terrible friend.
No, you're not.
Congratulations on your new book. I know that thank this was you. Like your heart has been poured into it. And so yes. I want to hear about your faith discovery and just kind of like journey as it led into Dear God.
Oh my goodness. It was so wild. Actually, I grew up in a really like religious home, but it was always more like, I don't know what my parents believed, or I suppose what I believed, but I think there's a difference between knowing about God. And, well, there, of course, the difference in knowing about God and actually really believing that he knows you and believing that he's real for you. So for me, it was a cultural thing. It was like almost like another subject we studied. And as I grew up, I went away from, you know, I decided I didn't really like religious people. I decided that they were all hypocrites and couldn't trust them and wanted no part of this kind of thing. They all think they're better than everybody else. And deep down, but the thing about that is I met a lot of great religious people, but once you have those kind of those, goggles on where you see things in a certain way because you've been through things, it's self-fulfilling. And so I grew up and I married a Jewish man, actually. Well, he's my high school sweetheart. We married when I was around 20, and his family didn't force me to convert or anything, but I did, and I loved it. It felt like I was coming home, felt like I understood this faith, even though for me it still wasn't about God and having a relationship with God. It was more about joining this people and like joining this this legacy kind of, you know, they've been chased all over the world. They've been, I mean, people try to exterminate them all the time. They're always running, you know, and they have this kind of relationship with God where they keep turning away from him. They keep turning away from him and he keeps taking them back. And then they go back, you know, they try this, it doesn't work. Okay, take us back. A little bit of idolatry. Okay, take us back. And I just loved, I just felt at home. And so I became a, you know, a Jewish mom, Jewish wife, making challah on Fridays, the braided, you know, bread. And even now, you know, my daughter just had her bat mitzvah last summer. And like, this, we never, you know, ended those things. But after our marriage ended, after we moved to Quebec, you know, I moved across, you know, to a different part of the world, didn't speak the language. And I'm feeling, okay, so now what? Because my faith was so tied to my marriage that it's like, well, now what do I do? I'd always identify, you know, when I was a child, it was tied to my parents, then tied to my marriage. And I didn't really have anything that was just came out of a relationship or anything that could really, you know, that was lasting outside of something that could end. And so at that point, I just began to wander. And we talked about the wandering a little bit before we got on. And I just began to wander. And I just went every direction. I tried a lot of new age things. I tried a lot of even kind of occult, like paganism, where you are the master of your fate. You decide things. You manipulate the spiritual to serve you. And that got really dark really fast, as it can, because, you know, I don't think people realize... Well, people do realize the spiritual world is real and you don't get to manipulate it without there being a cause and effect, because you don't always know. I got into channeling. I would talk to friends who were doing channeling. It's like, you don't always know who you're talking to. Someone can pretend, a spirit can pretend to be benevolent and not be. And you have to be so careful. And so that got very dark when I finally just hit rock bottom, didn't know what I was going to do anymore. I went back to the synagogue where we'd been a part of. I went at night when no one was there and I just kind of turned to God and I just said, okay, I need you. I need you. I can't manage my life by myself. I've made a mess of everything. Help me. And the first thing that he reminded me of was my vow in the synagogue when I converted back in, you know, all these years ago. And so I began to start Jewish life again, but I felt like there was something calling me, something else, you know, and I couldn't get rid of this feeling that something was calling me. And I thought, I don't know why it popped into my head, but Jesus, you know, because I studied Islam for a while. And in Islam, Jesus is a prophet. In Christianity, Jesus is the son of God. I didn't know what that meant, but son of God and also God. Okay. In Judaism, Jesus is a nice Jewish boy who got a little ahead of himself, you know, did too much, was disrespectful to the elders in the synagogue. And, but he was still good. You know, his followers got completely out of control, wrote a whole new Bible and persecuted them later. Right. And so I just asked God, who is Jesus? You know, if he means something to you, tell me, because I want to know the truth. At this point, I was interested in the truth. And so I asked him that. And I asked a few times to kind of like, let it go. One day I'm standing on my patio, facing the grass, and the patio door is behind me. And I just felt this presence behind me. I felt this, I knew it wasn't like just a person, because that would be scary if someone was just standing behind me, was there. It just felt like this presence, this big presence, but this gentle presence. It felt, I knew it was a, he, I knew who it was. I mean, I knew it was, Jesus doesn't need a word. His presence announces himself. I felt like the most loving, the most kind. And I also was very aware that he knew me and that he loved me and that he's always known me. I felt all of that, you know, all of that in his presence. And okay, so I knew. And then, so immediately I'm like, okay, kids, information time, you know. Yeah.
We love Jesus.
We love, yeah. And I found out that there were other people like us, you know, who were Jewish and they called him Yeshua, and that he was, you know, this was the Messiah. And so I was kind of putting it all together, and I'd heard of these things, but until you kind of experience it, or I don't know, maybe some people can just hear it and know it, but I had to really experience it, really feel it. And so that became this journey kind of back home, but also in a very new way. And from then on, you know, it was kind of like, okay, so this is the truth and I'm going to walk in this. I never want to be separated from God or feel separated from God again. I know that was a very long answer.
No, I love that so much because I think that there's such beauty in like this, in the wandering, right? Like there's yes. beauty in the questioning, and there's while things get dark, like you said, there's also grace upon grace for those dark goodness. Seasons yes. and that you can see them as dark seasons. And yes. and I know I'm a Baptist pastor's kid. So and not only that, but like I'm a missionary's granddaughter. So like yeah. I didn't, if I would have wandered like that, my family would have like lost hellfire it. Brimstone upon me. Like right. there's a like it's bigger, it's different. And so like I never I lost my dad when I was 4, my biological dad. And so there was just this call to home early on. Like I knew that my dad was in heaven. I knew yeah. I wanted to do whatever I could do to be reunited with my dad one day. Mm-hmm. It wasn't necessarily about like this Jesus yet. That came much later when I needed a refuge, when I needed yes. a friend, when I needed you know, like God's always been like safety to me. And yes. I think that that's yes. beautiful that you were looking for like, but God, like there's this Jesus person. I need to understand who he is because I'm hearing a bunch of different things. And I just think that that's yes. so, so beautiful because I think that one of the things I love most about our faith is one, we all meet God differently and we all yes. see Jesus differently, yet they are still everything to everybody. Like it's,
yes.
it's so uniquely personal, yet it's just like God.
Yes, I know. It's like I love testimonies. I watch them on YouTube, and you know, and they're so different based on the person. But then there's still this recognizable. You still recognize him in it, mm-hmm. and that's what I love because like it confirms everything for me over and over and over.
Yeah,
I just love that he shows up in the way that you would understand, that you would need that. I just love that. I feel like yeah. we're so lucky. We're so blessed, you know?
And that was what I feel like. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, it's actually one of the reasons I knew I had to do this and write this because I didn't want to. I feel mm-hmm. like this would be a lot of the ways career suicide, you know? Like it just felt so random to me. And also, why would anyone listen to me? They've seen me struggle. They've seen me like anxiety, depression, you know, drinking, like just doing, being all these different people. Why would they even listen to me? But believers have been so amazing, like you, like who just get it, who just like get it. And it's almost finding like this whole new family of siblings, you know,
yeah.
like and you're talking to you, you're my new sister, you know, it's awesome.
Agree. It's so special because it is like, I love like the Jewish tradition. And I think like the Jewish faith is so beautiful because it is like this, like, God's chosen people, you know, like there's like this like cool little part of it. But then at the same time, Jesus came for the Gentiles and everybody across
everybody.
The world. So while they do have this like special, maybe they don't, I don't know, but it's just like, we see Jewish culture so unique, yet Jesus came for the world. Yes. And so I love that. I love that. It's just like this sweet family, no matter where we come from or where we meet Jesus yes. or how we meet Jesus, it's this family immediate.
He makes us family. He's yeah. made all of us family. I love that he has done that. I love that he's a God who says, no, I want everyone. I just wanted to show yeah. you who I am through this people. I wanted to show you about my about my love and about my perseverance, about my mercy, but I want all of you. I love that about yeah. him. I just yeah. love that he's like, no, they're mine. These are mine. I want all of you, but also I'm not going to force you. That yeah. I find so interesting. The fact that he's going to give you a choice because I can't relate. If it were my children, I'd be like, ha, this is what you believe. Yeah. And if I have the power to manipulate your mind to save you, I will do it. You know what I mean?
I'm not like my family would have hellfire and brimstone upon me. Yeah. Like I would have been set, like isolated until I confessed. Like it would have happened.
Because when it's a matter of like life and death, eternal, you know, and not even just that, because we know how life is without God. When you've experienced yeah. life, especially life as an adult, I know how it feels. I know about the pretending that everything's all right. I know how far you go to convince yourself that you're okay, you're having fun, everything's great, everything's fine, I don't need anybody. I know about that, and so I don't want that for them. And so it's so hard for me as a parent, because all my children, they all believe in Yeshua, they all believe in Jesus. It's amazing. It's him, you know, it's a power of that truth. And but I think, like, okay, you know, they still have to go through their adulthood and all of that, and it's scary for me. But God is so, his love is so different from our love. He gives us the choice. Yes, he nudges us, but there's always that choice, and I can't relate. We're so full of fear, and we're so full of, you know, we're full of fear, and we want to control, we want to manipulate, we want to do all that. He's like, no, he's like, yeah.
it's such a gracious father, because I too will choose for my children.
Exactly.
If, as best I can, I will. And I mean, I have a 15, our kids are, I think, similar ages. I have almost 15 year old, a 12 year old, and a 10 year old. And I'm like, no. So this is actually how we're going to do dating. We're not. Right. So I've chosen that for you. We're good here. And they're like, so about that. And I'm like, no, I decided. You're welcome.
I love that. We're good here. You're welcome.
And God's like, hey, so let's not do that with your kids. And I'm like, oh, fine. So I would decide everything, and I want to, but then I get reminded that that's not wise. And
I know
he's like, hey, how's your free will?
I know. Right. I know. Oh, I'm in the same boat. Cause I get afraid. We see we know what's out there.
Well, and I, like, my oldest two are boys.
Yes.
And so I'm like, oh, no. I remember being a 14-year-old girl. No.
Yeah.
No.
Nope. Yeah. And they're so different now because they have the internet, and they know. My kids aren't allowed to have, like, Snapchat or, you know, social media. They're not allowed to have social media. But even still, they still pick up things here and there.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, yeah. You know, there's that line of sheltering, but or and protecting. You, but they're young.
And I think that there's a shepherding, like there's a sheltering and shepherding. And we are kind of like, okay, so here's a little bit of free range. We're still going to, like, have these borders and barriers and protections. And then they're like, my daughter, she's the one, like, jumped the fence. I don't know how she got over there.
They see a rule. They're like, oh, that looks like a good thing to jump over. Thank you for that obstacle. Cause I was actually bored.
Yeah. I was actually bored. You know, we were comfortable here. And I don't like that. So on top of, like, meeting Jesus differently and how we can all see him in different areas, I love that he meets us daily in unique ways where you can use humor and show people Jesus in this really sweet way. I can watch a Disney movie and start sobbing because I just felt the presence of the Lord. Like, I love that he does that. And I want to hear a little bit about, like, how you use humor within your faith.
So much, because I know, I know without a doubt that God has an incredible sense of humor. I know that even Yeshua,
look
Jesus,
at us.
I know.
Like, amazing. For real.
Oh my goodness. I mean, even in my prayer life, I just feel him, because he knows I respond to that. Or, okay, I'll give you an example. I was kind of overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed with all the stuff, like, in the house, and it's like, God, you know, I need some help. I need some help with just, like, day-to-day things. And then my dryer started acting up, of course. And I was having to press the thing twice to just to dry the clothes, even sometimes three times. I'm like, okay, so maybe it's the filter, maybe it's, like, the thing I have to go in. And someone ended up telling me, like, okay, you know, I'm going to come look at it. And I was like, fine. It was someone that I have, like, a social relationship with. I was like, I don't know, you know. And I'm sometimes with new people, I have a hard time, like, letting them in my home, and I feel very protective. And so the person came and helped me. Then we couldn't fix the dryer, and they ended up just giving me a new dryer. It's like saying, okay, you know, there's someone's going to pick this one up, and I'm getting you. I just feel like I need to do this. And I'm just like, wait, what? And I said, I can't accept it. That's too much. I didn't know what to do. I felt uncomfortable. I can't accept it. That's too much. You know, I'm sorry. Thank you. But I can't. And then I started thinking about it. And then the next day, my 14-year-old was struggling with math. And she has a friend who's really good at math. And I said, well, why didn't you ask this friend? And she said, I'm just tired of bothering them. I don't want to bother them, you know? I said, you have to let people help you, Maya, you know? And I said, you have to let people help you. And I was like saying this to her. God's like, yeah, you do. You do. That's a thing. And so I told the person, I will accept the gift if that's okay. They said, yeah, of course. Like, I was waiting for you to say that.
By the way, I will say this. I just did a talk about this where I've always thought, by not accepting help, I'm being gracious and kind I don't want to seem needy. But in turn, I'm not allowing that relationship to grow. I'm not accepting a blessing, which the Lord has given us through people. And it's just flat out rude.
I know. Because I, you know, and we think like, oh, I'm a strong person. I can do it myself. And plus, I don't want to put anyone out. I'll figure it out. But it's really prideful. It's really about pride, and it's really about control, and it's really about discomfort. And you know, when you accept something from someone, you're letting them in too. Yeah. You're letting them in. And so God said, you prayed for this. I'm like, yes, but God, you know, that wasn't how I wanted the prayer answered. Yeah. I had a very, you know, I had something more different in mind in the future. If you could just run how you're going to answer it past me.
Right. I would like you to run things by me. Yeah. God, maker of the universe, creator of the heavens and the earth. Like,
of the earth. Like, you know, who graciously did all these things. If we could answer them together.
Yeah. You know? I don't understand how my lungs actually know how to breathe. Could you please, like, I'll help you next time. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Who saved me from everything. But I still feel like I know better.
You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network. And now a message from a network supporter.
Hey, did you know I wrote a book? It's called It's Time for Jesus, and it's a 30-day devotional all about believing the truth of who you are right where you are. We talk about friendship and identity and pursuing the Lord even when it's hard. I would love for you to pick up a copy. It's available on Amazon, and if you have Kindle Unlimited, it's actually free. So go grab a copy. I think you're going to love it. This book is here to remind you that God loves you, and He made you just like He wants you. Stop chasing that version of you you think is going to make you happy. Stop chasing that relationship, fill you up. No, this book is for you. Believe the truth of who you are right where you are. Come on, you guys. It's time for Jesus.
Can I read one of your prayers? This one made me laugh so hard.
Yes.
Okay. Dear God, I decided not to believe in you. I was upset, devastated, actually. Tired of feeling like I'm speaking to empty air. But that's not true. I can feel you almost all the time. I was tired of being in pain. You could have rescued me if you wanted to, but you didn't. That made me so sad and angry. So I renounced you in my soul and turned my back for 3 solid hours. Did you miss me? I'm still kind of mad. Love me. I just I feel that, like, I feel one, that drama so deep in my soul. But I also,
it was real. It really happened.
I feel that sometimes you feel like your prayers are hitting like the ceiling, right? Like, it's hard to believe that our prayers are being heard by the maker of the universe. And I know that I've had that. So what is your advice? Like, what is your advice when we are feeling like our prayers are going nowhere? Mm. Those 3 hours of turning our back, that's fine for 3 hours, but we know that's not how it works.
No.
So what do we do? Says,
you know, the toddler goes, you're not my friend anymore. Like, my youngest used to be like, you go, pardon me, because you know, like we live in French Canada, you're not your friend. He would say it to me, he's not my friend anymore. And it's like, okay, I know what you're trying to say. You're angry at me. Like, this is hilarious. I'm not going to laugh because I won't offend you. Or he would like say, you're not invited to my birthday party. You're not invited. First of all, I throw your birthday party.
Yeah. So I don't know. Good luck having it. Good luck having a party without me.
He's like, too, you're not invited. So that's basically what we do with God sometimes. Yeah. You're not doing what I want you to do. And or even I'm in pain and I don't see you in it. I don't see you in it. You know, like, you can get more serious than that. And what I've learned through, because I, you know, I'm very dramatic with God. He knows I'm just, I like Shakespeare level dramatic. I don't know why. It's just how I am. Two things. One, we don't get to choose how our prayers are answered. And that is very difficult for me to even admit, because I'm still heartbroken by it. When I'm praying something and I feel like that wall kind of a thing. It very rarely happens that when I feel that, it's because I'm trying to direct him. Now more and more I pray for his will to be done. I pray like in the spirit, trying to see, feel like, where is he leading this prayer? Not just, I need this, 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 but okay, this is happening. This is happening. I'm afraid. I need you. Show me how to, rather than this needs to happen. You know, even when we so believe that that needs to happen, that can be so difficult, when, especially when it's life or death or things that are scary like that. Another thing with prayer, like, and this is something he's taught me recently, is when I feel like just something that's happening, there's unforgiveness somewhere. And that is so hard for me. Because I, you know, I could hold a grudge. And I, for me, it's not even about holding it. It's like, it's about keeping myself safe. It's like, yeah, okay, this bad thing happened with this person. I've got to keep them away from me spiritually, you know, not just physically, but I have to put up this wall. And God is saying, forgive that person, forgive them.
Yeah.
And even pray, like, pray for them. You know, when Jesus said, bless those who persecute you, and I'm not even being persecuted, it's not even on that level, but that has to do too. And just asking him, I don't know what's going on, but you do. But tell me any area in my life, anything that's coming between you and me, between me and our prayer life, show me. Just like clearing those roads between you guys, and he'll help you. He's not going to sit there and watch you shoveling snow by yourself. He's going to help you.
Oh yeah, because he's so, so sweet. And I think you're right. Like, man, I needed to hear that today too. Like, just for my own prayer life of like, hey, there's probably some unforgiveness in your heart and it's probably time to let that go. And it's not just like, let it go and it's gone. But it's this, I just read a book recently and it talked about how we pray, like, anoint my head with oil, and like why we pray that. And it's the shepherds would anoint the sheep's head with oil to protect flies from getting, to protect their brains, because flies would come up and get in their brains and they would bang their heads until they killed themselves.
Yes.
Crazy.
It so reminds me of us though. Like, oh, that's for literally sure. Me.
I have to protect my brain. Because I'll bash, like, if I don't, I will constantly go visit that person's content to see if it's about me or if it's hurting me or living on the defense, when God has not called me to live a defensive life. He has called me to live a free and flourishing life to pursue the will that he has for me. Yes. If I do not forgive this person, I am not able to protect my brain, right?
Exactly. Like,
man, I needed that. For my life today. Sheesh. Oh,
I need it so often, because, and you know, with our imaginations, we can have something that's real, just like this little thing that's real, and we will just blow it up. We will just blow it up and add all these kind of dimensions that don't exist, or even if they do exist in some way, he still calls us to bless them. Bless, you have this person, bless them, please. And when we think about them, because it'll happen, and you know, I can even think of something that pops up in my mind, and what we're called to do is say, okay, please bless them today, please take care of them today. And it can be so hard on our hearts sometimes, but the more we can do that, and forgiving is not even a one-time thing. I have to forgive over and over and over, because I'll take it back. I will take my forgiveness back. I will revoke it. A thought comes up and I'm like, I'm back in that situation. Like, and he calls us to just to keep giving it to him and to keep forgiving, and even pray for those people, pray for their children, you know? And it's such, it feels like such new territory, such uncomfortable, naked territory, but it's the only way. It is that, like, that, then he can pour that oil on us and protect our minds, protect our hearts, and even protect our prayer lives.
Yeah.
He keeps our prayer lives open. You know, because he told us, there's that story, if you have something against your brother, leave your offering here and go fix it. And that's how we can go do that. And we have to.
Yeah.
It's rough.
It's so hard. It's so rough. But I also think about, like, the friends I have who know, like, my heart and what's going on. Yeah. And they're like, oh, we're talking about this again. Okay. And I'm like, God. And he's like, okay, we're talking about this again. Like, come here. Right. Like, I've got you. Yes. And I'm like, thank you. Okay. And not that, like, my people aren't gracious and kind, but they're like,
right.
Oh, I thought we dealt with this.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Like,
no, I know.
And I'm like, God. And he's like, come here, sweet girl. Like, come I got here. You.
Ugh, exactly. He knows. So kind. He's kind and he knows. Yeah. He knows it's hard for us to let go of things.
Yeah.
It's really hard for us. Like the sheep that will bang their heads against a wall until they die. It's hard for us to let go of things. You know what I was thinking about the other day? I was thinking of a comeback to something that a girl said to me, and it must have been sixth grade, I finally came up with comeback.
You should text her.
I aim to find her on Facebook and be like, listen,
one time,
35 years ago, you said this about my dress. And I have the thing, because she said, nice dress. No, she said, nice hair. She liked my hair. And I said, nice dress. Oh, you see that? Yeah. You see what I did there? How I kind of turned it around? That's just how we are.
It is. It is. It's and hard. As you say that, like, I remember a girl being like, are you waiting for a flood? And I'm like, what does that even mean? I don't get it. My pants were too short. I didn't know yeah, I wasn't cool.
We didn't know. We didn't buy our own clothes. We didn't do our own hair. My mom did my hair. It was for a special event. It was for a performance. It was for a performance.
Okay. We believe that there's a season for everything under the sun. It's kind of where It's Time for Coffee has led us this, you know, last year. Right now, It's Time for Coffee. It's time for a new friendship. It's time for us to both, you know, do some work as far as writing some words down. But what is it time for in your life right now?
Oh, my goodness. I think it's time for harvest. And I know that sounds so but I feel like it's time for me to start using the things that God has helped me heal from and really like step into life and help other people and also just be consistent and be faithful, like in terms of writing the things that he tells me to write and just to kind of like growing up. You know, that's what I mean by harvest, like growing up. It's so unfortunate. Yeah. I know.
Our kids are like, it's about freaking time.
You know? It's time for me to grow up. I don't like it. He was talking to me about this the other day, and I was just like, I like being your baby. You know what I'm saying? I know I'm still his baby, but I love, even though it was a very hard stage, but just that being his baby and all he did was hold me, you know, all he did was hold me and whisper to me. And now he's saying, okay, now you can walk. Now you can walk. Now we're going to walk together. And I'm just like, oh, my leg's tired. Oh, like, you know.
Oh, it's such a beautiful picture of such a, like, I keep saying, like, just such a sweet, sweet father. And it is like, he's just like, okay, but I know that you can do more. And yes. With that comes like the callings that he's given us in the direction, in the laughter, in the freedom, but also the fact that like, because he's a good father, we get to crawl back up in his lap at night and say, oh, did you see what I did? Did you see what I did? Yes. And he's so, so great.
He is. He's no one like him. And I feel so blessed and lucky every single day to have a relationship with, and that he let me have a second chance at life. Mm-hmm. I mean, if he hadn't rescued me, I wouldn't be here. Number one, I wouldn't be here. I know people have different faiths. I know people don't believe, but I have to say, like, there's no life without him. Because I look at how things were before, even when they were great, even when I was getting this, I had my first book deal, it was this huge book deal, you know, ended up my book didn't even succeed, but like, it was a huge book deal. And I just felt like I was, you know, I was kind of at the top of my career and everything. And, you know, and everyone's, oh, such sensation on us, all that. I was empty inside. I was empty inside, and my home was like, there was an emptiness. Even in my life, there was an emptiness. I would take nothing, having no books, having just like living, you know, in like a one room, nothing. But to have him, you have everything. Yeah. Everything else is icing. Everything else is like icing and decoration. He is the thing, you know, that makes life life. I finally understand when, you know, when Jesus said, I'm here to give you life more abundantly. I get it. It's like, okay, not just the go around, just the doing things, but you've got this teacher who's with you all the time. You've got this comforter. We're so blessed. Like, we're so lucky. I mean, I'm going to be complaining in 5 minutes. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to be complaining and telling him that, like, where is he? And I'm actually dying because there's dishes in both sides of the sink, you know?
I mean, I lost my temper. And when we were all home quarantined, I was like, that kitchen is closed. When you're at school, do you get to go to the cafeteria all throughout your day? No, right? You don't. the cafeteria closed. I like lost my temper. And then the next day I was just like, hey guys, the kitchen's closed. And they're like, okay, okay. This has been the most fun. I'm so thankful that we met and became friends. Tell us please real quick where we can buy your book, where we can follow you, whether it's on Instagram, Facebook, just like how can all of our people become better friends with you, because they absolutely need to.
Oh, thank you. I'm most active on Facebook. The page name is Boomy Laddington. Well, it's like facebook.com/BoomyKLaddington. I cross post stuff to Instagram. Instagram's Honest Toddler. I don't go on Twitter that much anymore because it scares me. But my book you can get on like Amazon or bookstore websites. It's on Target and Walmart.com. It's cool.
Yay.
I think that's the first, yeah.
That's awesome. And it's Dear God, Honest Prayers. Is there something else
to a God who listens?
Honest Prayers to a God who listens. Oh, yeah. So beautiful.
Thank you. I think they thought of the title. I just named Dear God and then Zondervan thought of the subtitle.
Zondervan's like, we got you.
Yeah, they're so nice. They're like such good people. Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh, this was the best.
Hey guys, this is Kate Warman, and I am the host of the Heart of Dating podcast here on the Converge Podcast Network. And I want to tell you about something super exciting. My first book ever, Thank You for Rejecting Me, Transform Pain into Purpose and Learn to Fight for Yourself, comes out on February 16th. Have you ever been through a massively painful rejection, whether from a family member, a friend, or someone you were dating? Well, if you don't want rejection to have the last say in your life anymore, I want to encourage you to visit thankyouforrejectingme.com and join me as you face your biggest rejections in life with courage and strength.
I think the thing that speaks to me the most in my conversation with Boomy is how she found Jesus to be so real, soft, and kind. Does he rebuke us and straighten us out? Yeah, like any good father does. But again, he can be so gracious and so kind. I hope you loved meeting Boomy today. Be sure to grab her book. It's linked in the Amazon store and it's in the description below as well. Also, have you taken a quick minute to leave a review for the podcast? By doing so, you are letting others know, and Apple, that you like It's Time for Coffee and that others should join us here. It would mean the world to me. Thanks so much for joining me for coffee today. I hope that we're already friends on social media, but if we aren't, come find me on Instagram at Jeanette Tapley or on Facebook at The Jeanette Tapley. If you have any questions about the show or what's coming up, be sure to check out itstimeforcoffeepod.com. I hope you have a great week, and I can't wait to see you back here next week when it'll be time for coffee. Bye, friend.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.